In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Come, Holy Spirit, come with your glorious presence. Come with your glorious inspiration. Wonderful Jesus, pour out upon us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, I was with a friend, and we were thinking, you know, what is faith? What is faith? And Hebrews 11 tells you what faith is. First verse, now, right this moment, faith is the substance. When you talk about substance, I'm touching the radio. This has substance. It's not air. I'm touching the radio. It has substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, that is the substance. When we pray through the blood of Jesus, that is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but evidence happens. People get changed. People get delivered. People get healed. People get peace. Oh, it's all real. Faith is all real. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can do everything that you do, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. God called one man in the Bible his friend, and it was Abraham, and he pleased God by his faith. He called those things to be that were not as if they were, and Isaac came. I'm telling you, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that's important, that word evidence, of things not seen. Yesterday, I asked the children, what is faith? And one little child said this, I talk to God, and I know that what I'm asking, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I talk to God. You see, that's the substance. And I know that when I'm with God, what I'm asking is going to be all right. That's the evidence. This is from an eight-year-old. This is from an eight-year-old. And you know why? Because she goes to church with the father and the mother and her two siblings, her brother and sister. This is real. This is a real thing. I talk to God. That's the substance. And I know that what I'm saying to God, he is going to answer me. That's the evidence. Then I said, how does it feel when you talk to God? And she says, I feel love. I feel love. You see, this is from an eight-year-old. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. She doesn't see anything, but she has faith that God is going to take care of it. That's simple. I can't make it any more simple than that. That's what the child said. I want to look at Luke's Gospel, the 21st chapter, and I want to start with verse 25. Jesus said to his disciples, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. Luke is talking to us about the second coming of Jesus. During Advent, we look to the second coming of Jesus. As Jesus came the first time as a baby and gave his life for us and died and was buried and rose from the dead, all these things, because this was all prophesied, Jesus said he's coming back again, and these are some of the signs that will be happening. Signs in the sun, the moon, the stars. The earth's nations will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud and with power and great glory. But when you see these things begin to happen, you who believe in Jesus, you who have given your life to Jesus, you who have given everything over to Jesus, surrendered to Jesus, when you see these things begin to happen, stand erect and raise your heads, because your redemption is nigh at hand. In other words, for those who belong to Jesus, don't be afraid of these things, because Jesus is around the corner when you see these things happen. Beware, talking to us, that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxiety of life, that day catch you by surprise like a trap. Oh yes, beware. Beware. We who wait for the coming of the Lord, we who live by grace, which yields to faith, which yields to good works, beware, beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. I'm going to tell you, anxieties of daily life. How am I going to provide for my children? How am I going to send them to college? Listen. Trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord, and do good. Anxiety is daily life, that day catch you by surprise like a trap. Well, the trap just comes, it snaps when the animal gets into it. I'm telling you, that day will come. Jesus will come again in glory. As he promised, he will come again in glory. That is real. That is real. He has not yet come. I'm telling you, it's been 2 days since Jesus was ascended into heaven. 2 days? No, 2,000 years. 2 days also, because 1,000 years is as 1 day with the Lord, and 1 day is as 1,000 years. You see what I'm saying? Jesus Christ just returned to heaven, because you're talking about time, and time pierces eternity, that 1,000 years is as 1 day. So 2 days ago, Jesus ascended into heaven, and his promise is that he will come back in glory. As he came the first time, the great Savior of the world, as he bled for you and me and the rest of the world, as he did this for us, he will come again in glory as the judge of the living and the dead. And when you see these things happening, when you see things in the sky, the sun and the moon, the stars, when you see the waves and the seas being turbulent, don't be afraid, because this is a sign that your redemption is close at hand. Jesus is coming for a church that believes. Yesterday I asked the children to look up Matthew 25. When I was hungry, you gave me to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. And I said, you know, we do these things in the name of Jesus. And one of the children said, that means we're servants of Jesus. Isn't that something? I didn't go any further, because he doesn't call us servants anymore. He calls us friends. He calls us friends. We've taken that a couple of weeks ago or last week. So, you know, don't be afraid. Now, how should we conduct ourselves as the Lord tells us? And I'm reading from the first letter to the Thessalonians. This is how we should conduct ourselves as we wait for the coming of the Lord. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love one for another. That's very important. Love, not hate, not unforgiveness, love. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love one for another and for all, just as we have abound in love for you, so as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this. Remember last week we saw that homeless man without any shoes, and the policeman bought him boots and bought him socks, and he put them on. And they said, wasn't that a wonderful thing to do? Well, you know what? Thousands of people walked by that homeless man, and guess what? They walked by him and didn't see him at all. I remember Jimmy the roofer. He saw someone in Boston who it was freezing, and he had no coat or no pants that were thermal. And I remember we bought him that and gave him that. Isn't it something that people walk by people and don't care? I understand that the guy that got the boots took off the boots again, and he wants to sell them. But you know what? At least someone cared for him. But my question is, why don't other people care for him? Thousands and thousands of people walked by. You're in New York now. Walked by this man. And they just said, you know, he's a man outside without shoes. You know, this. How can you walk by someone like that and not do something? How can you walk by somebody like that in the winter and not do something? You've got to, even if the guy took the boots off and going to sell them, I'm going to tell you, how can you not care for this person? At least bring them into McDonald's and get them a double cheeseburger or something. You know, how can you, saying that we love God and we believe in Jesus and we do not respond? The scripture says, may the Lord increase and abound in your life in love, in love. Love is something you do, not something you feel. Love does something. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love, just as we have for you, as to strengthen your hearts to be blameless in holiness before God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and all his holy ones. When Jesus comes again, he's not coming alone. He's coming on the clouds, and he's coming with his holy ones. He's coming with the saints. He's coming with the angels. My Lord, that day, don't let that day happen and catch you like a trap that snaps on you. Don't let that day catch you like a trap that snaps on you. You live by grace. You live by grace that yields to faith. You live by grace that yields to faith. That does love. That does love. And the scripture goes on. Beware. What? Beware of what? That your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life. I'm telling you, with all the things that are happening, it's so easy to get your eyes off of Jesus, off of the solution, off of the prize, and put our eyes on our anxieties. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, that day catch you like a trap. For the day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times. Pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray that you may have the strength to escape all these tribulations that are imminent, so that you can stand before the Son of Man. Be vigilant. Don't give up. Be vigilant. Watch for the day. But while you're watching, Let your hands be busy doing good for people. We are not saved by our works. We are saved by grace through faith that yields works. And faith without works is dead. The Bible teaches that. I am not saved because I'm preaching to you. That has nothing to do with it. I'll tell you why. I believe in Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, who rose from the dead, and who ascended into heaven. I believe in Jesus Christ. And because I believe, I have to do something. And one of the things I do is I preach on the radio. But preaching on the radio is not getting me to heaven. It is Jesus who gets me to heaven. It is Jesus Christ by his sovereign blood, by the blood that he shed for us. It is Jesus who saves us. And you know what? He's coming again. Whether you believe it or not really doesn't make a difference. He's coming anyway. Whether you believe it or not, he's coming anyway. He's coming. And ready or not, when he comes, he's going to come. And he's coming for a church that believes. He's coming for a church that loves. He's coming for a church that has no spot or wrinkle. He's coming for a church who will dive into the deep. He says, put your boats out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch. I'm telling you, too many of us are baby Christians. After 30 years, we're still baby Christians eating milk and rather than chewing on some steak. I'm telling you, it's so easy to just remain a baby Christian. Surrender. Surrender. It's all about surrendering our life to Jesus. Surrender. Surrender. Surrender your life to Jesus. Surrender, surrender, surrender your life to Jesus. Amen and amen. I continue with John's Gospel, the 16th chapter, and I look at the 16th verse. A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. He's talking about his ascension. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he says unto us? A little while, and you shall see me, and because I go to the Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he says? A little while. We cannot tell what he is talking about. But Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that which I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Oh, yes. Shall rejoice. Why? Because of the power of the ascended Lord that pours out his Holy Spirit. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Yeah. Do you remember what happened on Pentecost? Jesus has ascended to heaven. They were sorrowful when he left, but the sorrow turned into joy. Why? Because he outpoured the Holy Spirit upon them in a magnificent and holy way. He did what only he can do in a magnificent and holy way. And I'm telling you, if we need anything today, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. If we need anything today, we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit who keeps us faithful. We need the move of God in our life. We need the move of God in our communities. We need the move of God. It's not only just being a pew potato. We need to see God moving and saving people. I'm telling you, we are living in the best of times, you might say. Are you kidding? Yes, we're living in the best of times because there are so many people that are lost, so many people that don't know their right hand from their left. Jesus spoke about the Ninevites, you know, God spoke about the Ninevites, that they didn't know their left hand from their right, and that Jonah was to preach to them, and he didn't want to do it. They didn't know their left hand from their... I'm telling you today, Catholics and Christians don't know their left hand from their right. They don't know what's good and what's bad. They're delving into things they shouldn't be delving into. It's so easy. Don't let that day come of the coming of the Lord that catches you like a trap. Because once the trap is closed, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. But God forgives us. Thank you, God. Jesus forgives us. Thank you, Jesus. In his blood, we are forgiven. That no matter what you have done or how many times you've done it, that the Lord forgives. If we repent, R-E-P-E-N-T, turn away from your sins and believe. Turn away from your sins and allow God to be who he is in your life. Turn away from your sins, because that day is coming. And you know what? Ready or not, it's coming. And if it doesn't come that we see Jesus on the clouds, it comes when our hearts stop beating. That day is coming like a thief in the night. Hallelujah. That day is coming. And he's coming for a church that is believing. A believing church, a faithful church, a surrendered church, a loving church. That's what he's coming for. So what does he say? A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, when she is having the birth pangs, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more of the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. I'm telling you that she's not going to be talking about the travail anymore. She's not going to be talking about the birth pangs anymore. She might say it for the first couple of weeks, but you know what? Now she has a baby that this baby is in her arms, and she loves this baby as her, as only a mother can love this baby. I'm telling you, this is reality. I was with Bernadette last week, and we were praying for Mario, and I ask everyone to pray for Mario. And she was kissing her baby, loving this baby, touching this baby. The baby's in intensive care in the hospital, and she just was the mother of that child. She didn't tell me about her birth experience. She had a bundle of joy in front of her, even though the baby needs prayers. Oh, Jesus, Mario, Lord, heal Mario completely. Heal that beautiful child completely so that his mother and father don't have to worry about him, don't have to have any anxiety about. Oh, Lord Jesus, we ask again for Mario that you would do what only you can do. And that mother loved that child. It was so wonderful to see her hold that child, to see her kiss that child. It's just so, it was so wonderful. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. You know, I just want to tell you, she might remember it for a week or two, but she doesn't talk about it anymore. She doesn't talk about it because she's got a baby in her arms. And I want to tell you, if you have a healthy baby, I want you to rejoice and praise God, because every baby born is not healthy. I was at the children's hospital the other day, and you know, in one sense, I hate going there because it breaks my heart to see mothers and fathers crying over their children. If you have a healthy child, I want you to praise God for that healthy child. Every child born is not necessarily healthy. You know, that's just the way it is. And you need to praise God for the health of your child, to give thanks for the health of your child, because everyone born is not healthy. And you just need to go to children's hospital and see the reality of parents who do anything for their children, wheeling them with wheelchairs. My Lord, it just breaks my heart. I told you when I'm finished and have no ministry, I told you what I'm going to do. The best place to be is in front of the children's hospital and have a sign around my neck. I give blessings. You know, those parents are dealing with terrible, awful things. And if they ever needed the presence of God, it is now when their children are sick and dying, or when the children are sick and being operated on. It is now. I'll never forget, we went to pray with somebody, and there was a little boy who had leukemia who died. And he died while we were there. We were visiting someone else. And we went into the room with mother and father, and we had no words to tell them other than we prayed for the mother and father who lost their child. My Lord, what grief, what grief, what grief, what grief, what grief, what grief. But you know what? Our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the Lord. That's why we have to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Because many people, all people, land on big bumps and their faith is challenged. And when your faith is challenged, I'm telling you to look up anyway and tell the Lord, I surrender. To look up even in you're not feeling anything. I surrender all. I surrender everything, Lord. Even though I can't see beyond my nose, I surrender. You know, when you reach an impasse in your life, rather than run the other way, lift up your hands and say, I surrender. I surrender all. I surrender, Lord Jesus. I trust in you. I hope in you. You are. I know. And you'll make it right. You know how to do all things. I trust in you. I trust in you. I trust in you. Listen, I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Every Sunday at 7 o'clock in the evening, we have praise and worship for 2 hours. Come and join us. Get in the atmosphere of His presence. So I want to hear from you again. Please, please, please. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Remember, the Lord is near. He is near to the brokenhearted, and He will come in glory. He will come in glory. He will come in glory, because that's what He said and that's what He meant. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.